The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Does everybody stand and lift your hands to heaven? Father, let every ear be anointed to hear, every heart receptive receive all that heaven has today. We pray this now. Your word, so mightily grows your word and prevails in the life of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we thank you for it now. Thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. I've dealt with this subject many, many times from different angles, discussing different aspects. And really, I could go for 3 months just on this subject of the supernatural church. Somebody said, why do you say supernatural? Because the church is not an organization. The church is not a business registered with the government. Even though you might have to cross every T, dot every I, that there's certain things that you have to do legally, but that's not the church. The church is people, and the church is a supernatural thing instituted by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many know that Jesus is building his church? I know there's people think, well, the church is finished, it's over. I got news for you. The church is actually better than it's ever been. I'm not talking about the religious structures. I'm not talking about what man built. That's the thing that's shaking. I'm talking about what Jesus built. And the church, triumphant, will stand. You cannot stop the church. Now, I want to look at today, I want to look at persecution, supernatural persecution, because for whatever reason, this generation of ministers feel that if you have a church, everything's just got to be copacetic. Everything was just all the ducks line up. Nobody's upset with you. And you just have, you know, everybody just loves you. But that's not what I read from the Word of God. I don't read about that. Going back under the old covenant, even to the prophets of old. I don't read about that. Looking at the ministry of Jesus. Because if anybody should be accepted, it was him. Yet he was rejected. From the moment he stood up to speak, they plotted to kill him. I know many ministers that have stood up to speak and nobody wanted to kill him. Or if they wanted to kill him, it was for the wrong reasons because they went too long. Jesus, actually, in fact, preached a very short message in Luke 4. You can read it, takes you a few minutes, and they wanted to throw him over a cliff. Can you imagine? Jesus preaches, they grab him, they take him to a cliff and want to throw him over. That's the response you get. So let me ask you a question. A servant is not greater than his master. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you're going to run into the same things that he ran into. Amen. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I haven't had anybody want to throw me over a cliff. No, because they know they'll be charged for murder. But trust me, if they could get away with it, they would do it. There's people that would love to take me out. and religious people and people that would actually think they would do God a favor. We could shut him up. That guy's crazy. Back in the 90s, I was labeled as the most dangerous man in Christendom. You want to know why? Because of joy. And they said that I altered the way people worship. Normal people go in, they worship 20 minutes. That they worship for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. The services are long. They're brainwashing the people. I got news for you. Many people's brains need to be washed. A supernatural church garners supernatural persecution. It's a fact. Let's read Acts 17. Have you found it yet? If Siri doesn't know where it is, find somebody with a Bible and look over their shoulder. I'm going to read, I have a King James Amplified parallel. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It'll come across a little louder. Now, after Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul entered as he usually did. For three Sabbaths, he reasoned and argued with them from the scriptures. That means he was there for 3 weeks. He reasoned. If you're reasoning, that means people are reasoning against you. And it says he argued. Wherever you go, you're going to find people arguing about the scripture. And you have to be a good persuader. You have to be a very good arguer. That's what I do. I am a debater. I love a good argument. I never run from an argument. You want to argue with me? You better come ready with the facts, because I'm going to throw down. Hello. A lot of people don't like confrontation. I don't want to get in an argument. But you have to stand up and defend what you believe. You can't just, okay. Okay. Explaining them and quoting passages, which you better know the passages to quote. Setting forth and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is Christ the Messiah." How many know? There's places in America, if you go there and say that, they're going to get upset with you. And some of them, accordingly, were induced to believe and associated themselves with Paul and Silas. Watch this now. This is what caused the problem. And a great number of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. In other words, the King James says, and of the chief woman, not a few. So they had such an impact that it touched the leading woman of the community. They don't mind if you come in there and you touch a few. But when you come in there and you start making a difference and you touch the leading people of the community. But the unbelieving Jews were aroused to jealousy. How many know? All of the persecution is caused by jealous people. We were turned in by jealous churches. There were six jealous churches that turned me in. On the day of my arrest, there were two pastors giving a speech. And at the publicity of it. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a pastor giving a speech while another person's pastor's getting arrested. Come on. They were roused to jealousy and getting hold of some of the wicked men. I like what the Amplified says, the ruffians and the rascals. How many know each community has ruffians and rascals? And the loungers in the marketplace. This sounds like Antifa. This sounds like BLM. Huh? Oh, yeah. And religious. There's religious loungers. There's religious ruffians and rascals. They gathered together a mob. Everybody said a mob. Set the town in uproar. You know, right after my arrest, we had 80,000 threats on the River Church Facebook page. It took 2.5 weeks for our staff to clean up the page. Even now, that page is limited in viewership. People threatened us on my social media platforms. We were threatened. Our church phone switchboard was inundated with phone calls that were coming in, threatening us. We didn't know these people. They didn't know us. But a mob was stirred up against us. The media hounded us. And I just said, I ain't doing any interviews. I'm going live tonight from the green desk. And I'll just stay live every night. I have to shut the church down because they threatened to come in and kill people. Can you believe that? You're going to kill people, so we're going to come kill you. That doesn't even make sense. I knew that it was a storm that would last about a week and then start to blow over. Because it always does. Always does. I didn't take it personally. I'm going to deal with tonight how to deal with persecution. Don't take it personally. I didn't take it personally. That's why I wasn't angry with the sheriff. He was a friend of mine. I was disappointed in him, but I wasn't angry. I actually didn't really even have to forgive him because I wasn't walking in unforgiveness. I actually was praying for him. Because I realized that there were jealous people, that it stirred up problems. And I like what the Bible says, wicked people, ruffians and rascals, loungers in the marketplace, and they gathered a mob. Set the town in uproar. Watch this now, they don't stop. They attacked the house of Jason. Everybody say, the house of Jason. Seeking to bring Paul and Silas out to the people. But when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason. Poor Jason. They're dragging Jason. Somebody's got to pay for this. Where's Paul? Where's Silas? They don't know. He hid them. He hid them. All right, come here. They dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason, this man here, had received them into his house and privately protected them and all, they're all ignoring and acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar. You getting arrested because you're not obeying the decree of the mayor. Illegal decree, by the way. Huh? Illegal. Illegal decree. Actually asserting that there's another King, one Jesus, which somebody said, well, they weren't doing that, Pastor. It doesn't matter. The attack was, I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. The attack was to stop the body of Christ. That's why there are pastors on the brink of getting arrested today. Don't tell me that this is not an attack on the church. As long as Walmart remains open, Home Depot remains open, as long as you can get Uber Eats to your house, as long as you can stop at the gas station and the churches remain closed, it is an attack on the church. You better wake up, people. I know what I'm about to say is rough. Get your head out of the who's behind. Some of you watching in your homes, you have your head so far up the behind of the who that if the who was treated for hemorrhoids, they'd be wiping the underneath of your feet. That's how far up the who's behind you are. Somebody said, that's a terrible thing for a pastor to say. It's the truth. Somebody got to grab you by your feet and pull you out of the who's behind. We'll wash you off. I said, we'll wash you off. We'll get squeegees. We'll remove the turds from your nostrils. Somebody said, Pastor, I can't believe you say these things. Who's going to stop me? Well, that's just too graphic. Well, that's where you are. That's why your voice is muffled. Both the crowd and the city's authority on hearing this were irritated, stirred up, and troubled. If you are going to stand for the gospel and you're going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to get stirred up, they're going to get irritated, and they're going to get troubled. And they will plot against you. They'll make up web pages against you. They'll furnish lies against you. They will pay people to lie against you. They will spread rumors about you. I've had it all. Somebody said, what do? I'll deal with that tonight. When you Google your name, you look at it. I just laugh because there's so much fabrication and so far from the truth. Come on. I'll tell you the good, the bad, and ugly. Trust me, I won't sugarcoat it. I'll tell you everything. You hang around me, I'll tell you the whole story. When they'd taken security bail, in other words, they wouldn't release them until they got some money from Jason and others, then they let them go. Some of you, you might have to pay bail. Me, it wasn't that much. There wasn't much on my head. Sorry to tell you. It was 250 a piece, two misdemeanors. I thought maybe I'd get a misdemeanor, but I got a misdemeanor, $250 a piece, $500. I paid that and they let me go. And I got my money back, by the way. They sent me my money back. all charges dropped, you know, everything. Why? Why were they dropped? Because I was right. They weren't dropped because somebody felt sorry for me. They were dropped because I was right. I had the law behind me. I knew the law. But we might have to bail a few of you out before it's all said and done. I thought you'd get excited that we would come and help you. They let him go. Now the brethren had once sent Paul and Silas away by night to Beroea. And when they arrived, they entered the synagogue of the Jews. Now, of course, they were a little different. They weren't the angry mob that he had just had to go through. Now, let me do this so the pages don't blow away. Why am I saying all this? Because if you take the Word of God and you go through it and you find men and women of God that stood up for righteousness and for the truth, they paid a price. The church in this hour, if you think we've seen all the persecution we're going to see, it's only starting. I said it's only starting. Regardless of who wins here in November, the plan is to shut down the church. They have to stop the gospel. There is no question that we will see people that will be martyred for their faith. And the day will come when we might actually see people martyred in America. You say, I don't believe that, Pastor. I'm telling you. Somebody said, what will you do if they line you up in front of a firing squad? I'll lift my hands. Oh, sorry. My hands will be tied behind my back. I'll just begin to laugh and say, go ahead. Make my day. Because you know where you're going. Why do people not want to stand up at the hour? They don't want to get arrested. They don't want their name dragged through the mud. They don't want to get thrown in prison. We built a nice ministry. We've been accepted in the community. Jesus didn't do anything to go around and get accepted. You're not here to be liked. You're here to do God's will, God's purpose, and God's plan. How can we read the word and see what they went through, but we wanted plain sailing? How? How does it even go into people's minds to think we read the Bible? They were arrested, they were thrown in prison, they were brought in front of city authorities. And then, oh, I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get brought in front of the city authority. Have you read your Bible? Yeah, but that was Paul. That was Jason. Jason should never have hit them. Jason should have turned them in. The church has always been persecuted from the early church till now. Do you know, America, that there are people that are standing on the brink of death at this very moment in countries that do not allow the gospel to be proclaimed? Somebody is being arrested right now. Somebody is being executed right now. Somebody is being killed because they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? We've had it easy. We've had it easy in America. And here's where the problem's going to come. I'm going to talk to you where the problem's going to come. Maybe for you individually it won't, but the moment children are involved, people will cave. I'm going to kill your child. Okay. See, if you've taught your children properly, then you tell them the day might come when they separate us and they say to you, we're going to kill your daddy if you don't deny Jesus. Here's how your child should answer correctly. Go ahead and kill me. I will never renounce Jesus. And the same for the parents. Are you with me? I did that with my children in 1993 in America. Somebody said, Pastor, there was no threat. I knew back then what was coming. Go back and look at our message for the last 20 years. Go back to the early 20s, in the early 2006. I did that old conference here at the church on martyrdom. Martyrdom. 8 days on martyrdom. I never announced it because nobody would have come. Who wants to go? Are you going to the conference on martyrdom? Oh, yeah. Who remembers that conference on martyrdom? The ones that don't, because they've already been killed. Just kidding. No, we've launched 4,000 people from this place. We got graduates in the River Bible Institute that are around the world that are facing persecution right now. They were there. So the fact of the matter is this, that the day will come when they will probably come house to house. For America, it's going to mean gun confiscation. For America, it's going to mean forced vaccinations. Somebody said, well, that's got nothing to do with the gospel. You don't have the ability to defend yourself, then you just are taken to the gas chambers. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. Somebody said, well, it's a vaccine. What can it do? It's unproven. And I don't have time to get into what they're putting in those things. I'll just leave it at that. It gets very quiet when you talk along these lines. You see, what they do, they don't come and take all your freedoms away like that. Because then everybody would revolt. They take it incrementally. One, we're going to take that away from you. We're going to take that away from you. You're going to be okay. Just comply. Oh, yeah. And you can't meet as a church. What do you mean we can't meet? Can't meet. And if you go meet, you can't sing, can't lay hands on the sick, can't dedicate babies, you can't baptize in water. Honolulu last week passed a law that the churches could not sing. So now you're going to go and worship? What do you do? Well, there's five other things we can do without singing. Okay, so what do? You can clap. You can dance. You lift holy hands. No, people say that you don't have to sing. If we don't praise him, the rocks and stones cry. What do you mean? We're not going to sing. So the people in Honolulu made a fuss and they just reversed it and said, okay, you can sing. I had pastors call me. They said, well, it looks like I'm going to get arrested this Sunday because they said we can't sing. And I'm going to sing. He said, I'm not a singer, but I'm going to make a big noise. How many are glad that I talk along these lines? They're not going to take everything from you. They do it piece by piece by piece by piece. It's like the frog getting heat up in the pot. He's just sitting there, the water's cold. It feels it's starting to get warm. The frog's sitting there. Yeah, this is great. And then suddenly it reaches temperature, and then he's cooking. He never jumped out. America, you want to fight for your rights that you have, that are given to you by God, not even by a constitution. The Constitution might affirm those rights, but before the Constitution was ever written, I have freedom to speak out freely. I have a freedom to meet freely. True. I mean, look how they did it after 9/11. And Bush signed the most damnable document in American history called the Patriot Act, where you can actually be arrested and stuck without any form of defense and locked away for years. That's in effect even now. Then you can't even fly without having a proctology exam. It's like insane. And anybody will tell you they have new explosives that you cannot pick up in the detectors. The metal detectors cannot pick that up. They're plastic explosives. They do not show up. But it's about control. I said it's about control. It's about programming people, getting their minds, well, we have to do this. We got to comply. We're wearing a mask to protect our friends. A mask does not protect you from a virus. I don't have time to get into explain that. Even the CDC said that. Even the WHO said it. In actual fact, you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide. In actual fact, you're going to breathe in your own germs. In actual fact, you're going to weaken your immune system. And you'll get something else. Maybe not COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, COVID-2022. There's no telling. They've got bags of viruses. They can release them, do whatever they want to. These are wicked people, folks. They don't have your interest at heart. And they hate God. They hate the church. They hate Jesus. They hate him with everything that they have. They kill babies. Even when the baby comes out on the table, they will murder the baby right there. And they're killing the seniors right now, murdering them. Oh, Pastor, be careful, they'll say. Who cares? I don't care what they say. Publicize whatever you want to. There's nothing I'm saying now that I haven't said already or written about. But you can compromise, think that you're going to extend your life. They will come for you. You will never say that you came to the River Church and your pastor never told you and told you everything. You will never be able to say it. You will remember these words, because one of the things that they'll want to do is to take the word of God away from you, because it's already been classified as hate speech. Hate speech. Now, Paul and Silas got away. They went out at night. That day, on the day I was supposed to get arrested, the Lord actually spoke to me. He said, don't go down by car, go by helicopter. And I want you to leave the church at 3:00. I landed right here, right over here. Came from my house here. We had lunch. I said to my wife, let's go. We popped on that thing and went. An hour later, they were showed up here to arrest me. Pastor Eric said he's not here. They thought we were lying. We weren't lying. I was at my house. I went live that night, and the Lord said to me, they're going to come for you. I already knew. I told everybody that was running the broadcast, there will be a helicopter over the house in 1 hour. 1 hour later, the helicopter for 1.5 hours circling the house. Because I'd been lied about and said that we had a cache of weapons here. We had no weapons here. We don't have a cache at the church. People carry here. This is not a gun-free zone. And I don't care who's here, what you're packing. This is not a gun-free zone. In actual fact, that day we had two deputies here. There were no armed guards. But those are the lies that are fabricated, and those are the lies that are out there. I don't really care. I know what the truth is. So they went at night. On another occasion, Paul went over the wall in a basket. When I see Paul, one day I say, you took a basket, I used a helicopter. Somebody said, well, do you think it's all done? Who knows what's going to happen here the next 6 months? If Uncle Joe makes it in, he's going to mandate masks in January. So from the day of inauguration, it'll be mandated masks. How do you come a year into the thing and now you're going to put masks on everybody? Come on. Come on. Well, I'll do whatever the scientists tell me. Which scientists? The ones that are on the globalist payroll? It's not even science. I know everybody thinks I'm overboard saying this is an attack on the church. Let me repeat it again. Read my lips. It is an attack on the church. Now, listen to this. We've got pastors of mega churches that are trying to open and nobody wants to come. Nobody wants it. They're begging people, please come back to church. But they were the ones that told everybody, stay home, you're going to kill yourself. Now they open the church, nobody wants to come. What? The people think you're schizophrenic. One day I'm going to stay home, be the little good boy, put a mask on, and now they're still saying we're supposed to do that, and you want to open the church. You want me to come back. I tell you, there will be major churches that will never open their door again, period. Never open their door again. I'm not happy about that, but maybe some places needed to get shut down. It's a rude awakening to find out that your pastor was a chicken. That is not one thing that's going to be said here about me. Because I warned you for years what was coming. I told you, we've written about it. I'm not popular amongst religious circles. When I walk in the room, they treat me like a leper. I stand on the side. I don't take it personally. I just smile privately to myself and hang out with Jesus. And then people say, he's a nice guy, but you just never know what he's going to do. It was the same with Jesus. You never knew what he was going to do. You never knew what he's going to do. This is why it is important that you receive power, which is more than just speaking in other tongues. Are you listening to me today? That's why Jesus told the disciples to go tarry at Jerusalem. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me. You'll be demonstrators, people that will demonstrate the power of God. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Another word for witness is a word martyr. That means you're ready to die for what you believe. Somebody said, I'm not ready to die for what I believe. Revelation 12 and 11. They loved not their lives, even unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. When Saul got converted and his name changed to Paul, God spoke to Ananias, told him exactly where he was. Go to a street called Straight. Told him where to go. Saul of Tarsus isn't in there. Go there, I'm gonna show him what things he will suffer for my name's sake. Hey, Paul, your name's being changed, but guess what? You're gonna suffer for the name of Christ. All those that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. For us here in America, it's verbal. It might be arrest now. Of course, I'm one of the first to get arrested. It might get where you get beaten, but in other parts of the world, people are tortured. When I was a little boy in the 60s, late 60s, a man came to our city by the name of Richard Wurmbrand, who's part of the underground church, and was arrested and was years and years in a communist prison in Bucharest in Romania, was tortured for his faith. 3 years in solitary confinement. They beat him, they tied him up. We should have the book in our bookstore. You can pick it up and read it. They would beat the underneath of his feet. They would stand him in a box with sharp razor nails, and he had to stand there for days. They killed his son in front of him. Listen, let me tell you. That was back in the late 40s and 50s when that took place. There are people in Venezuela being killed right now. There's people in Cuba that have been killed. You know how far Cuba is from here? Not far. It's got nothing to do with the geographical location. It's got to do with the who's in authority. The moment they come after the word of God and they censor the word of God and they try to shut the mouths of preachers, you know the congregation is next. I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm trying to tell you why you need the power of God. And I'm trying to tell you why we're making a stand here for our brothers and sisters that can't stand around the world, that can't even worship freely. That's why we're making the stand. We're not here because we've got nothing else to do. Trust me, there are places opening up. I could get on a traveling circuit. If people ask me, would you come to Oregon? Would you come to Washington State? Would you come to Tennessee? Would you? I don't want to go anywhere right now. I'm at the stand. We're making a stand. Somebody said, how long will this go? It'll go as long as I feel in my spirit it will go. It's going to go until everything opens up. And by the way, I'm here this whole week. Tonight, tomorrow night, the next night. Now, I made this statement at the all-night prayer meeting. Persecution is good. And you say to me, Pastor, what do you mean? How is persecution is good? If there was no persecution, it's like gravity is good. Do you realize that if you don't have gravity, your bones don't grow properly? Even plants in outer space don't grow properly. There's no resistance. There's no wind. If there's nothing to push against, your muscles atrophy. Are you with me? Persecution is good for the church because persecution spreads the message even more. the thing they make a mistake about, they think if they persecute us, we'll all shut up. They don't realize that if they persecute us, you're going to wake a sleeping giant of people that are going to say, absolutely not. The fact was, during the war, the Second World War, the churches that sang louder to drown out the screams of the other churches as they came and pulled the Christians away were the same ones 2 weeks later, a month later, that were being pulled away. And I'm not saying, well, Paul escaped at night. Paul went over the wall in a basket. I use the helicopter. Yeah, but I'm still here. Paul wasn't called to be a local pastor like I am. A pastor doesn't run. Where am I going to go? Huh? Where would I go? I'm asking you. What, you just bail? Send a message to the River Honor. Hey, I love you guys. But it's really, the heat was too much. I couldn't take it. They're going to kill me. I love you. I'll see you in a couple of years. Just wait for the thing to blow over. You go, what? And with technology anyway, there's nowhere to run. They can track you on your cell phone, folks. They're doing it right now with the tracking apps. They know what you did last summer. Hello. Where are you going to go? You're going to turn in your brother? What if they offer you money? You're going to turn in your brother? Huh? Well, they offer you big money. Come on. You can live great the rest of your life. I mean, I don't even want to get into the torture of how they tortured these people. Torture beyond anything you can ever even come. You cannot believe that people can be wicked to other people. And many of the people that have been tortured for their faith, they said the worst torturers were not the prison guards. Listen to what I'm telling you. The worst torturers were the other Christians that were promised, we'll be lenient on you if you torture this person. They were tortured by their own brothers in Christ. There was at least some of the prison guards, there was a pullback. The Christians had no pullback. So say this after me. I cannot compromise my faith. I cannot deny Jesus. And I refuse to give up my rights. Incrementally, I'm not giving up anything. I'm not looking for anything. I already have everything I need. The government is not my source. Now, you can write this reference down and look at it this afternoon and get ready for tonight, because I'm going to wrap this up right now. But let me begin to close with this Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14. I want you to read that. I have read it to you several Sundays. Verse 8 talks about the beginning of sorrows, which is where we are right now. Verse 9, Jesus said, they'll arrest you and they'll kill you. Which that's starting and has happened in other countries, even in the Middle East. Verse 10 talks about brother will betray brother. Verse 12 says the love of many will wax cold. Verse 13 says he who endures to the end shall be saved. I'm saying that because of where we are. We're closer now to the coming of the Lord Jesus than ever before. Who knows? We might not even see the end of the year. I'm just saying, I'm not putting a date on the coming of the Lord, but we are that close. Somebody said, well, if that's the case, why don't we just let the Lord take us out? Because we have a job of work to do, and that's bringing the harvest of souls, and we have to occupy till He comes. Can you say amen? And when He comes, He says, will I find faith on the earth? I want Him to know that He found faith, not just in me, but in the River Church and the River Church members. They were people of faith. They would not bow their knee. They would not worship the graven image. They would not eat the food offered to idols. They would not dance to their trumpet and their blast. They'd march to the beat of a different drum. So that on that day, you will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You're not going to lose anything on the earth. Whatever He has for you is greater than anything you could ever have here on the earth. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. From now until He's coming, that He finds us faithful. Say this after me. I will not compromise. I will not bow my knee. I will be found faithful on that day. I will hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Say this after me. I know how to handle persecution because my pastor teaches me, because I'll be here tonight to hear part two. I'm equipped because my pastor teaches me. My pastor does not hold anything back to save face or to save his reputation. He preaches it just like it is. Because my pastor fears God more than he fears man. Folks, I want you to know how much I love every one of you. And I'm not just saying that. I pray for you every day. I pray God's hand on your life, His protection on your life, His favor on your life, His blessings on your life, His provision on your life. I pray that every single one of you make heaven, that not one miss heaven. I would take it very personally if one of you didn't make heaven. I'm just telling you that. Want you to know how much we love you. I'm not just saying that. To the family that's out there that's watching by way of television in different parts of the world, I was getting texts from Europe, from Africa, from the Arctic today. People watching. We've got a great family. We have a great family of people. That's why the coming of the Lord, not only will we get to see our loved ones that have gone on before us, but we'll be united as the family. What reunion? What meeting that's going to be? There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Celebration. People you haven't seen, and you're going to get to see Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful. But we want to take as many people with us before we leave this earth. However many days are left, whether it be a week, month, 3, 6, a year, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, doesn't matter. We want to live each moment as though it could be our last. You live with that urgency in your spirit. You live with a fervency in your spirit. This world is not your home. Say this after me. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm just passing through. Say, I'm a stranger. I'm on my way to fairer land. I'm just here temporarily. Oh, I know when we get caught away out of here, they're going to say it was some alien abduction. They'll have an excuse for that. But I don't care. We'll be back anyway. We'll be back for the millennial reign of Christ. When I'm gone, take what you want to. When I'm back, I'll just reclaim it. Because I'm coming back in a glorified body. I'll be able to do some things I can't do right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll never set my foot on a scale again. All right. Let's do this. Let's pray right now. I want everybody to bow your heads. Close your eyes, please. I want to encourage you, come tonight for part two, please. Because I want to talk about how to deal with persecution. I already gave you one little taste. Don't take it personally, but I'll lay out the foundation for that tonight. Because I want every one of you to handle it. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and across the television viewing audience, if you're here today or you're watching, you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never made him Lord of your life, you've never said, Jesus, come and be my Savior. The only way to be saved is you personally as an individual have to repent of your sin and have to confess him as Lord of your life. Nobody can do that for you. People can pray for you, but you yourself have to, with your own mouth, with your own lips, you have to invite him into your life. That's how it goes. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, after that the judgment. There are no do-overs. There are no do-overs. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? You went home, put your head on your pillow, and in the middle of the night, you stop breathing. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all the guilty stain. Not only will your sins be washed away today, but all the guilt and all the shame will be taken away from you if you repent. He loves you. Jesus stands with arms wide open and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you, will you surrender? Will you say, Lord, here I am? He loves you so much. Maybe you here on the field, or you're watching in your homes. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should, but today you want to come back. You want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. Will you let the Lord set you free today? Maybe it's not hidden. know, there's people that have walked away from God because of unforgiveness. Do you know that? Got to let it go. You have to let it go. Maybe it's something outward, that's something that you fell into however many years ago. Now everybody knows about it. And you feel like, well, what's the use anyway? They all know about me. But God is a God of a second chance. God is a God of a new beginning. Just like the prodigal son. He was sitting in the pig pen of life. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father's house. Even my father's servants are treated better than I am. When you start eating pig food, or even when it looks like it's delicious, you know you're in trouble. And the beautiful thing, the Bible says the father saw him a long way off and ran to greet him. Kissed him, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, and then they killed the wheat-fatted calf, and there was a celebration. Today, that's what will happen for you. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go forward. What will people think? That's pride. That's pride. When you humble yourself, you actually, that's when you lose your pride, and that's when you lose what other people say about you. You actually don't care. You don't care. The more prideful you are, the more upset you will get. The more you humble yourself, you won't get upset. Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe a storm came against your life. A sudden divorce. You know, that'll blow people. You know, that'll rip you. I've even talked to ministers that I didn't even know she was going to leave. Pastors are big churches. I thought we were happily married. And next thing she left a note, said, I'm taking off. Devastated. That can knock everything out of you. Sudden divorce, bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one. I know what that's like to go through that. A sudden illness, you've been healthy all your life, suddenly you've got an illness. The betrayal of a close friend. Something happens. Life, things happen in life. But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And today, he will deliver you. Today, he will deliver you. If you'll surrender. What you're feeling right now, as you're sitting there, even in your homes, you're feeling his love. You're feeling his love. And then lastly, you here on the field, you're watching in your homes. You're not sure of your salvation. This is very important to me because I meet a lot of people. They say to me, Pastor, I don't know. I can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm going to go to be with Jesus. So they live in that place where they're always doubting. They're always wondering, am I going to go when he comes? I want you to be sure. I want you to leave this field today. I want you to switch off the broadcast at the end and go, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus comes, I'm going with him. I want there to be no doubt. If this is you and you fit into these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, across the field, quickly, put your hand in the air. Say, pray for me, Pastor. God bless you. 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 Hands are going up. Even little ones. I was 5 years old when I raised my hand to accept Jesus. Quickly, put your hand up right now. In your home, just put your hand up right now. Somebody said, nobody can see me. God can see you right where you are. Quickly, slip it up high. I feel the pull of heaven. I feel the anointing right now. I feel the Holy Ghost pulling on people right now. Today is your day. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me, please. On this section of the field, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. Quickly put your hand up and say, include me. Thank you. Anybody else? Right at the back of the field, I see your hand. Anybody else? Another hand right back there. Back in the second acre. Another hand over here. Anybody else? Slip it up high. Another hand. Sister, I see your hand. Anybody else? Slip it up high. This side of the field, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now, say include me. Right at the back, I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Another hand over here. Quickly, quickly put your hand up. Slip it up high and say, yes, that's me. Now I want you to do something. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Even in your homes, as an act of faith, stand to your feet in your houses. You say, why? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in prayer. I want everybody that's standing, I want you to come. Come from under your umbrella. Come from where you are and follow me down the aisle. Let's go down front. Come. We're going to pray together. Come on. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Come on, there's a few others that need to come. Come, we'll wait for you. Come. Come now. Come now. There's others. Don't make me come to the back of the field and get you. He's calling you now. He's calling you now. Come. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. 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 Gloria a Dios. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I tell you, I feel the fire of God. Fire! From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire! Father, bless this couple on their 40th wedding anniversary today. Pastor Derek and Cheryl, 40 years. Lord, bless them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give them another 40.
Thank you, Jesus.
Minus a few. In Jesus' name. 40 years, that's huge. That's huge. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many feel the presence of God here on the field tonight? Don't miss tonight, let me tell you. By the way, don't miss tomorrow night. I'm going to preach one of my favorite messages tomorrow night. Somebody said, what is it? I ain't telling you. Don't miss it. And the hurricane wannabes, the twins, they're hitting somewhere else. They're hitting somewhere else. They're twins, you know. Well, they can't be. They were like 2 days behind each other. But the one just lagged on in the womb, didn't want to come out. But amen. Now we're going to pray, you at home. As I pray with them here, you pray with me. All of you standing down front, just close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this after me. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, rose physically from the dead for me, that if I believe that I would be saved. So right now I confess, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. And I turn my back on sin. I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this very day, I will never be the same again. Now lift those hands and begin to thank him. Now, Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one will be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. Thank you for even these little ones here. I was 5 years old when I came to accept Jesus. How old are you, baby? You're 1 year old? Thank you. How old are you? Five? Four? Four. Okay. Four. I was five. So today, the Lord accepts you. Every power of the enemy is broken over your life. And today, he sets you free. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Put holy boldness on the inside of them. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.